This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. And over this weekend, it looked like Malaysia's politicking reached a fever pitch at the end of the week when UMNO announced its withdrawal of support for Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Now, this took place after the Prime Minister announced UMNO bigwigs Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob and Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein's appointment as Deputy Prime Minister and Senior Minister, respectively. Now, law experts are saying that the government will only fall if Muhyiddin resigns to UMNO's proposal for an interim Prime Minister. But I'm sure this is something that other people have chimed in on too as well.
Yeah, so the Attorney General Idrus Harun says that based on the law, the Prime Minister and the current cabinet will remain and continue to exercise their federal executive powers because there are no clear facts to show Muhyiddin has indeed lost the confidence of a majority of MPs.
Yeah, so there hasn't been any follow-up since UMNO's expected decision last week. So for more, in our political roundup this morning, we're speaking with James Chin, political commentator and professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. James, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, what do you think will be UMNO's next move following their decision to not throw in their support with Muhyiddin and Perikatan Nasional?
Good morning. So I think UMNO's next move is really done in the shadows. So what we're seeing now is two clear factions in UMNO. The first faction is obviously led by Zahid and Najib, and they really want to pull down this government. And the second faction, of course, consists of those people currently in government, led by Ismail and Hishamuddin. So basically, these two factions are going all up to try to get the support of the rest of the UMNO MPs. You have to remember, if there's going to be any vote on the government, it'll be done on the floor of parliament or done through some sort of representation to the king to show that UMNO no longer supports the government. But in order to do that, they need the numbers. So I expect both sides to go all up to start collecting numbers among their own MPs.
This is particularly curious, James. We'll ask about more about UMNO in a second, but you know, this seems like an inverse parallel to what we had last year when Pakatan Harapan fell, and when basically MPs pulled out of the coalition and Tun Mahathir resigned as Prime Minister. How is that different from this time as Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin keeps the position as PM?
Okay, so there is a key difference between February last year and this year, for the very simple reason that Muhyiddin has refused to resign. So last year, the vacancy arose because Mahathir miscalculated. He resigned thinking that he can pull together a government and national unity. So when that didn't happen, that creates a jalan for other people to come in to claim the seat of the Prime Minister. So as long as Muhyiddin refused to resign as the Prime Minister, he will lead some form of government. Whether it's a minority government or majority government, that is yet to be determined. But as long as he holds the powers of the Prime Minister and the King doesn't force him to step down, he is still the legitimate Prime Minister of Malaysia.
And so back to UMNO, do you think we'll see an UMNO baru given this deep split within the party?
No, there will not be any UMNO baru. If there's going to be any pull out, it'll be those people who want to stay in government. They might pull out and create an independent bloc. But of course, there's always the option of them joining Bersatu temporarily to show up the government. But creating a new political party is probably not the way to go, especially during the time of pandemic. So most likely, all the movements will be in the shadows.
Now, Sabah UMNO has thrown their full support behind Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, saying that they're going to be sticking with the coalition despite UMNO's decision to withdraw. Where does this leave Sabah UMNO under Zahid's leadership?
Right. So I won't take too seriously what the politicians in Sabah and Sarawak says. Very often they go with which side the wind is blowing. So right now the wind is blowing on Muhyiddin's side because as you mentioned earlier, he has refused to resign. But more importantly, the AG has come out with his legal opinion that Muhyiddin stays on as Prime Minister. So as long as Muhyiddin has the upper hand, they will go with whoever is in the federal government. If Muhyiddin were to fall tomorrow, I can guarantee you they'll come out with a different statement.
I guess, how does this all look for UMNO if it continues to press on for change in the of the government? in the midst of these raging COVID-19 cases. After all, Malaysians aren't too pleased with the way the current administration is handling the country's affairs. But at the same time, politicking during this time could also look quite bad.
Yes, but the reality is that they don't really care because Parliament is not sitting. And even if Parliament is sitting at the end of the month, I suspect there'll be limited fireworks. Because the first day is mostly ceremonial, so you only have about 4 days to discuss the National Recovery Plan and the sort of money they've been spending and all the ordinances. So I suspect the fireworks will be limited. But you also have to remember that they're working on a calculation that Malaysians have short memory. So they're betting that if they can drag this thing all the way up to October, November this year, and the numbers start falling, majority of Malaysians get vaccinated, everybody will forget about this and move on. Malaysians really have a very short memory.
Separately, Perjuang has recently been officially registered by the ROS, and the timing is quite interesting. Do you think we'll see Mahathir and Muhyiddin joining forces again, together maybe with PKR?
Well, I've always argued that everything is on table, everything is possible, but I think it'll be very, very difficult for Mahathir to make a comeback. I think joining forces with government is possible, especially if the son gets a senior position. But for Mahathir himself to come back via Perjuangan, I think it'll be very difficult. My argument has always been that, Malaysians, well, a lot of the people in the political class blame Mahathir for the current mess, because the reading is that if he had not resigned in February last year, we wouldn't be facing this mess today.
Now, there is a Bloomberg article also making its rounds, James. I'm sure you've seen it, saying that Malaysia may be on the road to becoming a failed state. Now, what do you think the perception will be from this, despite the fact that several Perikatan ministers have dismissed the report?
Sure. Well, my take is that Malaysia is not a failed state. We have a functioning government. What we suffer from is bad political culture and bad governance. I don't think we are a failed state. But the reality is that the international community have not seen Malaysia in a positive light since March last year when we had the so-called backdoor government. So I don't think what the author said is anything new. It's just that the word failed state is usually associated with places where there was some sort of civil war or some sort of a guerrilla movement trying to overthrow the government through armed means. That certainly is not the case in Malaysia. In Malaysia, basically, my argument is that this current political class has run out of ideas. They're playing all sorts of the old tricks and it doesn't work. And what Malaysia needs is really a reset. And when I talk about reset, I mean we really have to move politics to a completely new generation. This generation is really expired already.
So how do we do that, James? How do we reset the politics to encourage the next generation? As it is, yes, Perjuangan has been registered, but MUDA is still in the courts with its own, getting its own, in regards to its registration of its own party. What the reset looks like, but how do we kind of take steps to achieve it?
Yes, well, there's two ways of doing it. One, of course, is that we suffer another crisis like the May 13th, where everybody in the political establishment realize that the old tricks doesn't work anymore. We need to rebuild the whole political system. The other way is, of course, through the electoral system. As you mentioned, new political parties come online like MUDA, and we elect those people who represent a completely new generation. These are the only two available options. A lot of people talk about, revolution or what you have you, overthrow the government and bring in new people. That's not going to work. Because you have to remember, Malaysia, unlike many other countries surrounding Malaysia, right? We've never gone through the revolutionary route. We've always gone through a sort of a steady, slow movement route rather than a sudden change. That can be both good and bad. But the reality is that we are sort of stuck in a rut. And unless we bring in a younger generation of leaders, this current group, if they survive, I don't think Malaysia can move forward.
James, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. That was James Chin, political commentator and professor of Asian studies at the University of Tasmania. And I do tend to concur with him that we are long overdue for a new political generation here in Malaysia.
Which is why it's so frustrating that Muda hasn't gotten registered, right? The older party, Perjuang, got registered, led by a 96-year-old, but the young upstart, I mean, yes, the decision is still in the courts and things like that, still a bit of time there. But yeah, the fact that these two parties took so long to even get this far is, it's just not right.
I'm sure when Muda becomes useful to our senior politicians, then they might actually get their registration.
Quote unquote useful.
Yeah,
then and only then.
Yeah, so I think the Bloomberg article that you were talking about, saying that Malaysia may be on the road to become a failed state, it is quite an extreme title. And in fact, I think Ong Kian Ming, YB Ong Kian Ming, also had issued a statement about this. We're not a failed state. We certainly have a failed government who's failed to live up on, you know, containing the COVID-19 pandemic.
So the thing is, he's not saying that Malaysia is a failed state, he's saying we're on the road to it. That's the question we need to ask ourselves and focus on. Everyone's politicking about the whether we are still a failed state. Sorry, I'm a failed language speaker this morning, but it's about football, whether we are heading, it's whether we're heading down that route. That's the question here. And if we don't do anything to change it, will we eventually one day become a failed state? That's the question.
Yes, and this is something that I think many of us will be very deeply, deeply concerned about. I'm just curious as to how what our politics is going to look like in even 6 months or a year or so, right? With all of the changes
that we've seen. That's the word.
It is. It really is. Because is UMNO going to become increasingly fractured between the main party and the cabinet ministers, of whom two have just been appointed to major positions?
What I can tell you, I think you may need to reconsider whether you need a Netflix subscription. And after all, we have MyFlix going on here.
And of course, plenty of entertainment in the political landscape as well. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.